Our second scripture lesson this morning is from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 24, verses 13 to 35. Now, on that same day, which was the first day of the week, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" Jesus asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and the leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?' And then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, because it is almost evening, and the day is now nearly over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?' That same hour, they got up and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Holy God, we are here. God, we thank you for meeting us where we are. We thank you for opening our eyes. We thank you for revealing yourself to us. We thank you for the simplicity and the profoundness of the breaking of bread, and for your abundance in and through it all. We thank you especially today for Jesus, who meets us everywhere, who's with us now, if only we have the eyes to see him. Now may you put into my mouth the words you would have me speak, and take from my mouth those you would not. Amen. So I love Easter stories. I love all the Easter stories. I realize I say that every time. I realize I said that last season. I realize if I'm here in this sanctuary next season, I will say it again. And this is one of my favorites. And it's one of my favorites. And the thing I love about the Easter stories is that every time we encounter them, we get to find them anew. You know, as I was looking back on my notes from last year when I talked about this same passage, I looked to see what I was going to, just as a reference point for this year. And I thought, oh, interesting. I don't need to say that at all. Like that, it was so interesting because I went looking back thinking, surely I'm just going to say the same thing. So I was trying to avoid repeating myself. And yet then looking back, it's like, no, sure enough. But if you had asked me, I would have said that I remembered saying these exact things last year. Anyway, that's an aside. But I love this passage especially because of the gifts that it continues to bring. So here are these disciples. I love that they're named disciples and that they're not the 11. And so there is this recognition of the expansiveness of this community. They say already these women have come and have seen Jesus at the tomb. They've told us that they have seen him. They are close in this circle. They're close, but they're not one of the 11. But I think I just love that story because it makes room for all of us. Again, that's the point. There is room for all of us in all of these stories. But I love that it just kind of steps back a little bit to make room for the folks who are not in that primary circle, but just around Jesus. And they're on the road to Emmaus, which I looked up and it means hot spring, or a salvation spring was another way to kind of understand it. So they're on this road. It is still Easter Sunday. They are there again in their grief, and they encounter a stranger. They start talking to this stranger, and they're confused about why he doesn't know what's been going on. So they tell him. And then he kind of responds to them and says, "Do you not know what's going on? Do you not understand?" So he's like, let me just go ahead and break it down for you. And then he goes and he retells this same scripture story to them. He says, all of these things that have been pointing all of this way, it's like, think about all of these arrows that are pointing right here, right? These flashing arrows, I'm telling you all of these things, but they don't recognize him. And again, I love this in the story when I read it, and I'm wondering, do they not recognize him because something has put a veil over their eyes, or do they not recognize him because of their own veil before their eyes? I think the answer is yes. I think the answer is yes to both of those things. I think they're a lot closer than we realize. I think that they are not able to see him. And so in a lot of ways, I think it's probably their own veil that they have. They could be lost in their own grief, right? They could also be lost in the disbelief because this was the first Easter. There's no hindsight yet. Their hindsight very soon becomes 20/20. They see that. But in that moment, they don't see it. They feel something though, right? They feel something. And so that as they hear these stories proclaimed, as they see all of these arrows that they don't actually see, but that they feel, they're going on, and Jesus says, okay, it's time, I've got to go. At least he says, I got to go. And they're like, no, please stay. I like to think that they were coming from that same place, that connection, that longing, that understanding, that knowing of who he was. I'd like to think that it's that same sort of longing, that connection, that care, regardless of who Jesus may or may not have been in that moment. But there is that connection that they feel. That's something that we so often feel when we feel that point of connection with another person. I believe that point of connection, when we are able to put down all of the barriers that society tells us to put up, I believe anytime we connect in that way, we are connecting to the Christ consciousness, to the Holy Spirit that is woven through all of us. That's how we access it, by being present with one another. Which then brings us to the moment when these disciples bear witness to the resurrection in the breaking of the bread. Now, in the Gospel of Luke, bread comes up again and again and again and again and again. Jesus is always eating. He was literally born, and I did say this last year, born and put into a manger, which is a trough, which is a place of food. I didn't know that's what a manger was until seminary, so I like to share that. Apparently other folks knew this, but I didn't actually know that. So I always like to name that just in case anybody else didn't. A manger is a trough. It's a place of food. This is the gospel where Jesus begins the narrative and ends the narrative. I almost just said Jesus begins and ends. Where the narrative begins and ends with Jesus in the bread. Now, when I think about these folks, Cleopas and the other disciples with him on the road, that they couldn't see him because they were lost in their grief, because they were caught in their own stuff. Also because maybe they weren't in this super tight circle and they had only seen him from afar. But when did they finally get it? They get it when he's breaking bread. They get it when they see him do the thing that they had seen him do so many times before. It's almost like if you see someone and there's a familiar sort of piece of music where you have this little bit in the middle, right? Maybe the chorus that you're familiar with, but the rest of the music doesn't make any sense at all. And then all of a sudden you start getting toward that segment that you know and you feel, and all of a sudden you get hit with it and you're like, oh my gosh, this is that song I know so well. I just didn't know it until I got to this point that was so familiar. And then you realize I've heard it 1,000 times. I feel like Luke would be an appropriate gospel to say that these disciples had seen Jesus break bread 1,000s of times. It's abundant in that way. I saw you in the thing I'd seen you doing all along, which is just being present. A manger is not a fancy table. It's not a fancy table. This is a sturdy table. A manger is a sturdy table. Jesus was not born into a fancy table. He was born into an ordinary, everyday table. We meet God at the ordinary, everyday table. We meet God at the ordinary, everyday table. You can come into this sanctuary every Sunday. You can sit and you can listen to whoever is sitting right in this seat, and you can say whatever they may say. That does not mean you're going to meet God here. You may. I hope you do. I hope you have some sort of connection with the divine here. But I will tell you again and again, and we all experienced it, those richest times, those times when maybe if you hear something in a sermon that resonates, but those times when it really connects are when you connect it back to your ordinary, everyday life. Jesus' message was relevant for our ordinary, everyday life. Always life. Sometimes we can get so caught up in trying to look for God in just the right places that we miss that God is right there in front of us. We don't need to make it so complicated. I talk a lot about my morning ritual practices, and Sunday mornings are especially kind of long for, honestly, for your sake, because you want me to be able to be as still as I can for as long as I can before I come in and talk for a while without a script. But every Sunday, I'm like, gosh, I wish I could do this every week. So there's an hour that I give myself. I give myself 30 minutes outside, bare feet on the ground. I have jingle bells. I'm not even joking, because they help clear energy. That's fine. You can look at me like I'm strange. It's cool. That's cool. I'm okay with that. But they clear energy. They do. What does that mean? I don't know. It just means that when I jump, I'll jump around, I'll move around, I'll wiggle, and then energy will start to move. Sometimes it means I burp. I mean, sorry, I know that's whatever. But it's awkward. But it's being in my body. I meditate with a tree. I talk to a tree. I'm not embarrassed by that. I used to be. I experience creation. I have a rosemary bush that's 6 feet in diameter, and sometimes I just sit and look at her. And I feel better. Why do you do all that? Because I feel better. Because I'm an anxious, hot mess. And because it's helpful for me to find stillness. Honestly, I don't know, folks, if you're not a bit of an anxious, hot mess these days, I give yourself the chance to be still, and I guarantee you'll tap into that anxious hot mess within. Because it's an anxious hot mess making time. It is. So I spend 30 minutes with my bare feet on the ground, and then I spend 30 minutes in stillness. I close my eyes. I sit. My thoughts keep going, because that's what thoughts do. And yet again and again, I come back to the simplicity of my breath. And after 30 minutes outside and interacting with creation, I kid you not, some days I'm brought to tears just by looking around. just by looking around. There were five crows that flew over my yard this morning, and I swear it was like this moment when I had the opportunity to experience the divine in a whole new way. I don't know why, they were just being crows. And then I realized this story tells me why. Because it is about the simplicity of everyday life. And what I experience with those birds, or with those trees, or with that rosemary bush, or with the ground beneath my feet, I experience in communion with other people when I sit down and we break bread around a table. So then what happens is I'm breaking bread with people and I'm start brought to tears. I gotta keep myself in check on that because it's a little awkward. With the simplicity of breaking bread. I've said a number of times that I think this world could really change if we sat down and broke bread together more often, with the intention of seeing God in ourselves and one another. We could take Sunday mornings and make them breakfast time. We could sit around and have tables and just talk with each other. Because what happens is that when you talk with each other, you get to know one another. You create the space for vulnerability. You create the space to see and to be seen by one another, which makes life less stressful. At least for me. I'm going to name that. I think that's across the board. It may be more stressful for a minute when you realize the excruciating vulnerability that comes with being seen. But as you allow yourself to lean into that space, I guarantee you there is the abundance to hold you. Because what we have of Christ right now is manifest in the Holy Spirit, in and among all of us. As he talks about his return, I feel confident that that return is us recognizing that we have within all of us that Holy Spirit, which he breathed upon us after his resurrection. God is here in the breaking of bread. It does not need to be more complicated than that. But you do need to believe that you'll see him. Amen.